These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code parenting for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code parenting at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer. Hello, everyone. So I am super excited to share today's guest with you all. This is someone I was familiar with his work when they reached out to me to come on the show. So I'm really excited. But first, I just wanted to make a quick announcement, and that is that the book is finally up on Amazon. This was another labor of love, but it is chock full of tips and steps and ideas for parents of toddlers. Just understanding your toddler, their basic temperament, their individual temperament, their development, and then getting right into those really common issues that you have with toddlers. Sleep and bedtimes, aggression, tantrums, healthy eating, you know, getting them going in the morning, any of those power struggle areas where you know, you can struggle with them day to day, whether it's getting into the car, getting going, getting into bed. So it is the Connected Parent's Guide to Toddlerhood, Easy Fixes for 7 Common Toddler Challenges. So I hope that you guys will check that out, order my book on Amazon, and get some great tips for pretty much anything. It's over 200 pages. It's 232 pages. So lots and lots of information, potty training for anything pretty much that you're going to come up against in those first 4 to 5 years. So, but let's get to today's guest. So Ken Honda is a best-selling self-development author in Japan, with book sales surpassing 7 million copies since 2001. Now he's sharing his work with English-speaking readers in the United States and beyond. His latest book is called Happy Money: The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. And today, we're going to talk about talking with kids about money. What is happy money and how to help them have a positive relationship with their money. So Ken Honda, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to be talking with Ken all the way from Tokyo, Japan.
I'm so happy.
To let you know, so I saw you on interviewed with Vision.
Oh, okay.
On Mindvalley.
Mindvalley, yeah.
Yes. So I was like, I've heard of Ken, I know his work, and I love the message that you had. So I thought that'd be great to talk to kids about money. Let's start with talking about what is happy money.
Okay, happy money is money that makes you smile when you receive it and gives you so much joy when you spend it. So you know it because that brings you a smile. That's happy money.
And I think, you know, the big part of this is I think a lot of us feel that joy when it comes in, but it's learning to feel the joy when it goes back out that I think a lot of us need to work on.
Yes, but, you know, just imagine where you're paying something at the restaurant or shopping mall. You're getting something like a nice shirt or iPhones or nice meal. So you're paying for the service and goods. So you're not losing anything because you're getting something with the money. So at least it can bring smile on you.
Yes. And I just spent a lot of happy money today. I put a down payment on a house.
Nice.
That was a lot of happy money that just went out.
Uh-huh. So it's a historical day for you.
It is. So let's talk about our kids. How can we talk to our kids about happy money?
So unfortunately, because of the shrewd marketing system in industrialized countries, our kids are brainwashed that they're supposed to have more and they deserve more. So if you don't put certain limit on them, their greed is so stimulated. So they want new iPhones, new shoes, new clothes, new everything. And there's not enough room for a lot of people to upgrade everything. So you really have to have two skills. One, you have to set up a boundary. And the second, you have to enjoy what you got. So you can smile with old iPhones, you know, your kids may say, you know, everybody else, you know, has one. I'm the only one who doesn't have certain something, right? So you have to be also protective of your child from going toward the consumerism, because if you don't put any limit, kids' mind, they're inundated with so much information that they need to get. They're supposed to get more things, new things.
And it's interesting. I just bought my oldest son his first, I didn't buy him his phone. I got him his first line, and he has my old cell phone. And he was more than happy to have my old iPhone to just have his first phone. He was very excited
for it.
So, you know, there is that excitement and that gratitude that first time for things, which is really nice. So building that.
Yes, you taught him well. But, you know, it's so challenging because, you know, I remember my daughter, who's 23 now, she was so happy with just a tiny little thing when she was four. And then when she's growing, I think we taught her well, but still, like she says, is that all you can give? You know, type of attitude. So that happens. And it's natural too. So unless you focus on gratitude more, you know, even adults, we so easily just forget how to appreciate what we have in our lives.
Very true. I've noticed that a lot lately, that I've been really working on appreciating the things that are coming in and not keep looking to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, because then I'm not appreciating what I have now and the things that I've, you know, have been coming in, you know, for me over the last, whatever, month or 2 months or 3 months. Is sitting in gratitude with those things that I've had now for a month and still remembering how amazing it is to have that and how amazing it was to have it that first day.
Yes. But we are the creature of habit. So when certain things are there, we sort of take it for granted. So it's so easy to slip into this, oh, really? You know, type of complaining attitude. So yes. That's something we have to watch as a family too. So I think you're doing a great job of just making him happy with, you know, your old used up iPhone.
With his new, he has his new cover. He got to pick out his cover. So that was what was new for him. And I want to get into the gratitude part with kids, but first let's talk about the age. What age should we start talking to kids about happy money? And what do those lessons sound like, or those conversations sound like?
So my father was a very successful tax accountant. So he started teaching me about money when I was probably 5 or 6, because you know, I did a lot of volunteer work when my daughter went into a kindergarten. I did a lot of carpentry and a lot of chores at the kindergarten, because I had 4 years of my time off of my life. And during the 4 years, I really learned that kids are beginning to show interest in money. Mm-hmm. When they're like 5 or 6 or 7, you know, when kids are asked, what do you want? If they're 4 or 5, they say they want toys and certain things. They want object. And when they grow up to be like 7, what do you want? And said, money, you know, cash. They're like, oh, really? You know, you don't want bicycles? No, he said, I want to have cash so I have the freedom to buy whatever I want. Like, whoa, that's interesting. So when you're 6 and 7, definitely by 8, you kind of know money can do a lot of things. So I want you to start teaching what money is and how money circulates and changes hands from one person to the other. So just physically, you can invite your children to follow the flow of money. So by doing that, you know that money flows, and also a lot of things flow. And just think of the electricity, water, and all the other things, and the food on the table. My wife and I used to talk about the food, where it comes from, and also all the iPhones and the things. They're made in Brazil, in China. And then we show the map, like this thing came all the way, like certain furniture came from England, like, you know, it's a long way.
Right.
So by just teaching this thing came from these things, that's why we're enjoying this table. So for that, we pay the money too. Oh, so and then kids are beginning to understand that money is used for the transaction of goods and services. And whenever we pay money, we say arigato, or thank you, all the time. So my daughter got almost like instinctively got this habit of thanking when we pay.
Nice.
So when you just know that you are the one who appreciate, because you're getting something with the money. You know, people think they're losing money, mm-hmm. but if you're exchanging your money energy for like a glass of tea or something, so actually you're not losing anything. You're getting something, and unless you think it's a good deal, you're not gonna do that. So that means you're getting usually a good deal or fair deal. So if you start teaching your kids that all the deals are fair, and then exchange happens. Because if something is too expensive or out of your price range, you wouldn't buy them, right?
Right.
So you kind of know, and also kids know more that, hey, mom, that's too expensive, you know? So they know like certain things are valuable, certain things are not. So they kind of know the fair value in exchange for money. And so that's how they kind of start learning about the exchanges. And then talking about happy money is sort of like coming after.
Okay. So talking about the goods and services and the exchange for money and the flow of goods and services and the money first, so they understand sort of the system before we talk about the happy money.
Right.
We will be back with Ken to learn more about talking to kids about happy money right after a word from our sponsors. To me, there is nothing more important than my family's health and well-being. We all know the quality of the air in our home is important. But did you know indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air? I've got to tell you about Puro Air. In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room. Puro Air uses a stronger filter called a HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT. In laboratory studies, users saw noticeably cleaner air in just 30 minutes. When it comes to babies and children, there's nothing worse than dealing with a cranky baby or child who can't sleep because of congestion. Air purifiers can help reduce congestion and improve immune system function to fight those winter colds and flus. I use my Puro Air purifiers to clean the air in my home, especially in our bedrooms while we sleep. It has a quiet, relaxing hum and cleans the air from pet dander, allergens, viruses, dust, mold, odors, and contaminants. It has four levels: low, medium, high, and sleep. And four different timer options so you can customize it to your home and your needs. Check out Puro Air at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com. Puro Air is the only air filter that uses a HEPA 14 filter. That's getpuroair.com. This episode is sponsored by By Heart. By Heart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple. Make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, By Heart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. By Heart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. By Heart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code parenting for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Now that we're back after the break, let's get back to learning more about talking to kids about happy money with Ken Honda.
Kids definitely feel some adults are happy and others are not. It's because some people are doing what they love, others are doing what they don't like. So you can start teaching about work. You know, there are two kinds of work: happy work, not so happy work. So you can choose. So he or she would say, "But mommy, how come people do what they don't like?" You know, and then you can explain about money, because you know they think that the only way they can bring food on the table is to do what they don't like, but it's not true. Because you have an option. But unless you're careful when you come to choosing work, you bump into a work that you don't like. And I think it's the tragedy. And so one time my daughter said to our neighbor, "I hope you find a good work that you enjoy." And they're like, "Uh-oh, I'll be in trouble." But you know, I think kids know, and kids can feel your uncles and, you know, your aunts are happy and the others not so bad, not so good.
Right. Very good. So let's go back to the gratitude. Let's talk about gratitude. So why is this important? Why is this an important concept?
So especially in a home environment, you know, we have to do a lot of chores. And then here comes accountability. And depending on household, there are rules. It's almost like laws. So I always think homes are independent countries. Some countries are run on dictatorship. So even in North America, you know, a country of freedom and democracy, certain families, household are run by dictatorship. Mm-hmm. You know, there could be a dictator father, could be a dictator mother, or dictator both. So they control everything. So it's almost like they don't have, they have their own set of rules. And some people hated it. Some people are okay with obeying rules. So you have to come up with your constitution almost in your household, that if you're a member of the community, you have to do certain things. Like say college dorm, you have to have some rules, right? Cleanliness, and also the noises and the smells and the hygienes. Those things you can start teaching when kids are small, and then teach them that they are part of the community and they can do something to contribute to the community. So I'm a little against paying kids for all the chores, because then they think like helping family chores is a opportunity to make money. So instead, I've taught my child to do all she could to help others, and then separate money from just doing chores, because just helping other people is a natural thing. I don't want her to think it's a money making opportunity. So by helping one another, family needs to be run by different codes, different rules, other than capitalism. But some families I know that they try to introduce capitalism in home environment, but I'm against it, because everything in a house is against capitalism. Because if you obey the rules of capitalism, we have to buy the cheapest tables and cheapest TVs and cheapest tea and cheapest t-shirts, and it's not fun anymore, right?
Yeah.
Life is to be enjoyed. So you enjoy music, you enjoy nice food. You know, if you just think of cost cutting, you have to eat frozen food and then just wear very simple t-shirts and then start making money. But is that the way you want to live your life? Probably no.
It's interesting. A couple of points you made. One is, you know, when my kids first started doing chores, it was a chore. And there was some complaining, emptying the dishwasher and those types of things. And we just explained to them how this is part of the family. As a family, we work together, and mom and dad, we talked about all the things that mom and dad do that they can't help with yet, whether it's grocery shopping and making money to pay the bills and cleaning this, or, you know, taking out the trash, the things they weren't able to do yet. And at that time, they really were only capable of doing a few things. And so pretty soon they did learn to, and now they just do it with, you know, they're with gratitude. They're like, okay, and they'll do it. And now they do take out the trash and they do more and more things because they're more capable. But they understand, like, this is part of running a family, that we all pitch in and we help each other out. And when we ask each other for help with something, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. And so that turning it from being like a complaint to them understanding and feeling good about helping out as a family member has been just a total shift. And it happened pretty quickly after we just had a few talks about that.
Beautiful. I think you run it so beautifully. And so, some parents try to force, this is more of your forte, but some parents force their kids to obey the rules. Mm-hmm. But instead, it's almost like a cold wind or sun. You know, you can give them enough motivation so they're willing to do that for you instead of like they're forced to do. So like, I want to help mom, I want to help dad, I want to help my brother, I want to help my sister. And so like, I get, if I help my mother, I get $5, I don't want our friendship or love and value with money. So
very true.
Yeah, so instead of just doing the chores, it's almost like paying taxes, you know? So I hope if you could raise your children well, they do it for you out of love.
Very true. And the other thing I talk to my kids about is, you know, they want to be independent. They want to grow up. Mm-hmm. Well, when you grow up and leave home, you have to know how to do a whole lot of stuff.
Right.
And so as they get older and they take on more responsibility, this is an opportunity to learn how to be independent. So when you leave home and you run your own household, you know how to empty the dishwasher, load a dishwasher, shop for a meal, you know, prepare a meal, and, you know, do all these things that you're going to need to know how to do. I don't want you to get out there and just be like, oh, you know, they always did everything for me, or, you know, I did it for the wrong reasons. And so there's a learning to it that also makes it kind of fun. I'm growing up, I'm taking on more responsibility.
Yeah. So I think that's why there's another reason that you're doing it so beautifully, that ideal family households, we learn everything we're supposed to know while we're in the house. And then we have to learn a few more things after we get out, because there are certain things that we can learn by our mistakes. But I hope many people enjoy the luxury of learning all these little details. But sadly, unfortunately, our families don't function as well as they're supposed to be. They're like our government, you know? there may not be husband and mother and father, could be a single mom, single dad. And also, if they're not happy all the time, like my father was an alcoholic, so we didn't have a functioning family. So if that happens, whatever you're talking about is like the things in heaven, you know, the things are not so practical in a dysfunctional family. So I think ideally, if all the kids can learn from playing an important role in the family, but unfortunately, reality is not. So maybe at the bottom line is, if kids can learn how to enjoy money and how to be independent and in the future, so they have to prepare for their independency. In order to do that, they have to acquire skills to make money, and then one day they'll be independent. You can leave your kids certain choices that they're going to make. You know, if you want to go toward academic world, they can do that. If they want to go more manual labor, they can do that as well. And then I think they can decide.
Teaching our kids about gratitude. Did we cover that? Or is there anything else about teaching our kids gratitude?
You know, gratitude is a funny thing. You cannot really teach it, because it has to come from inside.
I was going to say, like, this heart, it's a heartfelt thing.
Yeah. So you say, like, people are starving not in Africa or somewhere, so that's why you have to appreciate the food. But, you know, if you don't enjoy the food, you cannot really think of people in Africa or some other countries. So,
and it's such a foreign concept to them. They're like, right, what does that even right. look like or mean? They don't understand what it means to starve.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
So I think you have to show them by your example. If you just keep saying arigato or thank you, I always had fun enjoying using different languages, because it's kind of cool. So I love using thank you, thanks, or danke, or seise, you know. So we use a lot of those words in my house. And so my daughter knows all the, you know, thank you words in different languages. So we just kind of fun game to appreciate one another. So what do you appreciate? So if you just keep appreciating your child being there, and then appreciate that he or she was born, they'll do the same thing. So the very fun thing I see is that when parents say, you know, I love you, and the kids say, I know, you know, that's beautiful, because not many kids know that their parents love them.
Yes, very true. So parental finances. So I know I grew up in a home where my parents talked a lot about, we can't afford this, we can't afford uh-huh. that. So uh-huh. the way that parents talk about money, how does that influence the kids? And how can parents turn that around if they are saying, you know, some of these things that might influence their kids in a negative way about happy money?
Yeah, so you have to teach them how society works. You know, so there are people called billionaires, millionaires, business owners, employees. And you have to, you're in a Disneyland, you often go to the map, like you are here. And then if you want to go to Magic Mountain, you have to go east or west, right? The life is the same thing. So if you explain about money, you have to teach your kids where you are financially and socially. My father said, I'm not a billionaire, but I'm comfortable with money. That's what he used to say. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got the concept of happy money. And so he said, I'm not super wealthy. I was a little disappointed at the time. And I asked him, why? And he said, to become super wealthy, it takes a lot of energy, and I didn't want that. And I sort of got it. And I will not be probably billionaire in my life because I don't need to. And so I told my daughter where I was and where I am financially and socially. And I teach her why I chose to be a business owner and investor. And also I work as a writer. So that's a self-employed person, right? So as I was explaining, I'm just showing the possibility how she or he wants to become later on. You can work for a company and get a paycheck, or you can go on an independent. And then there are some good and bad in certain life. So if you can be brutally honest about what's going on, you can say, I'm working for a company and your mother is a stay-at-home mom. That's why we can buy everything you want. And we have to live within means. Otherwise, we have to file bankruptcy and lose where we live. Is that what you want? No, right? So, and I'm sorry to tell you, but this is a reality. And then kids learn to accept it. And if you want to be rich in the future, this is something you need to do, you know, and good luck. So if kids learn certain ideas about what's going on in life, they get it.
What activities do you recommend that we can do with our kids to help teach them to have happy money?
So just if possible, lead them by example. If you're enjoying your work, and then if your kids see how you operate, they want to grow up. If you just work in a miserable situation, they don't want to grow up to be that miserable adult. So I think showing your life and showing your life works is a great example. And just showing them that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. If you show the vulnerability too, I think they'll appreciate you more. My daughter knows that I chose writer as an occupation, right? And sometimes I have a writer's block, or just sometimes I don't feel just concentrated on my work. And sometimes I'm in the flow. And she knows, and she's seen me thrive, and she's seen me struggle. And that is helping her find her own path. So my father used to say, I'm a step, you know, so just, you just, you know, go over my shoulders, and then have a better life is what he used to say.
Oh, very nice. And,
yeah. So I'm just telling the same story to my daughter. You learn from my mistakes and my glories, because I've enjoyed both, and then find your own path, because you have to create your own life. And that's definitely different from mine. So you have to have the right distance with money. You know, you need to have certain amount to be financially secure. But if you achieve that, life is to be enjoyed. So don't look at things from economic standpoint, because, you know, like this cup, if you buy at the Walmart, maybe like $2. But if you like a handmade one, it could be $100. But you know, your financial savvy part, just buy at Walmart. You know, don't just think about buying at a huge price. But happy money teaches you to enjoy what you have and just enjoy good quality stuff. So life can be so different. So if you're in a survival mode, you have to learn how to get out of that. So money is so tricky. So depending on your financial bracket, different things have to be taught.
Very true. Money is very tricky, and we can get really caught up in a lot of things that can really kind of throw us off and take us away from that appreciation and that gratitude for the things that we have. Like you said, if we're so caught up in, you know, trying to save money and just getting something that's really inexpensive, then you know, we're really taking away from that joy of life, which is very true.
Yes. So ideally, I don't want you to talk about money and then talk about life, because money is to be there to support your life. not your like survival. So if you just want to pursue your art, money may be necessary, but a lot of things can be compensated without money. So I want you to focus on teaching kids to follow their heart instead of just having financial security. I think people, especially in North America, people are obsessed with money because it's a cultural thing. You know, it's not good or bad, but it's like where people tend to focus. So if you talk with Europeans and other culture, people have different values. So otherwise, you may be financially secure, but you lose all the fun. And, you know, when you think of it, all the fun exists in wasting your money, you know, doing opposite things from saving and cost cutting. Because, you know, why do you pay 10 times more money for the art, for the furniture, and for the things around you? It's stupid economically, but it's fun. So for those people who cannot enjoy money, I become a devil. Waste your money, you know.
I went to a meditative retreat in Denver, Colorado, and I was in the hotel, and there was a really cute hat, and it had the Colorado sign and little the Columbine on it. Well, it's in the hotel, so you know it's not inexpensive. And that really cute t-shirt, and I was looking at it, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so much for a hat, that's so much for a t-shirt. And I was like, but you're gonna go home and you're gonna wish that you had that cute t-shirt and that cute hat as a memory of this trip. And it was such an amazing trip. And I was like, fought with myself a little bit. And I was like, no, you know what? You're going to do this for yourself. You're going to treat yourself. And I took those two things and I went up to the lady and I paid for it. And I just, it's my favorite hat. I wear it all the time. And when I can't find it, I'm like, where's my hat? Where's my hat? And same thing with the t-shirt. I love it. And it wasn't inexpensive, but I just every time I wear it, I have the memories and the joy and I really connect with it. And it's a very different experience.
You said it so beautifully. That's what I'm talking about. You know, so sometimes you have to do things that the law of economics teach you. So don't always cut down your cost. You just cut down your fun too.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much for telling us about Happy Money today, about telling us about how to talk to our kids and helping them have a better relationship with their own money and joy in life. So, if you want to tell my audience about where to find your book and anything else about how to reach out to you or how to connect with you that you'd like to, that would be great.
Thank you, Erin. All the information you can find at kenhonda.com. And I started an online community called Arigato Living Community. I have one of the largest online salon in Japan. I have a 12,000 membership. We meet once a month and I teach happy money and how to invite more happy money and how to monetize your gifts and all that. And I started doing that a few weeks ago in English. So we have about 500 members and from 20 different countries. And I'm really enjoying the community because it's an international community to learn about happy money and learn from one another. So if you are interested in what I'm teaching, please join. I'm starting to do a lot of Facebook Live and YouTube channel. So you can just watch me for free. And I just love sharing what we shared today. So thank you so much, Erin. I know you're a wonderful mother. And I just hope all the best for you and keep shining the light to the world.
Oh, thank you. Arigato.
Arigato. And hopefully see you in Tokyo.
Yes, thank you. So next week, we will get back to questions. So if you have a question that you would like answered on the podcast, please send an email to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
saving money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options in stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com. Save big money.